TH. Yeah, economy. That's another one of those. Mystifying things today. But what it seems to me is that, well, since quite a few years back now, a paradigm shift has been going on slowly but still enough to convince at least me that there's something in it, namely this. Okay, the old way is, let me produce something, products or services, whatever, at the lowest cost possible, meaning paying the workers as little as I can, and so on. And the countries where the resources come from, you know, the whole imperialism, colonialism, corporate law of the jungle mentality, and then sell it as expensive as I can. And there will be copyright cases and this and that. Now, the new one is an interesting one. It's more of sharing. And if that sounds now romantic to you, listen, let's look at it. For instance, in computer programming, when computers came, then you had the famous little soft company there starting to deliver programs that we happily used. Of course, most of us pirated them back in the days because they were expensive, like Office, I remember. I mean, it cost like, used to cost $600 or some, or euros or some, or more. And we couldn't afford that for having an editor and, you know, and so on. So, well, that's still going on. We want to make a program, a piece of software. We employ a bunch of programmers, pay them as little as possible, work them, make them work day and night. And we protect the source code by all means. In vaults guarded by lawyers, and sell expensive start by marketing to the rich people, the wealthy people, and then they will make it popular because look to all the wealthy people who use this cool program, and then later we can change, you know, these kind of schemes for how to squeeze money out. Now, we all know there is and has been, and also very successfully, that's the thing, open source software production development. Well, it used to be called shareware, things like that. It's been around for a long, long, long time. Fairly respectable among computer buffs through the ages. And, Well, we used to think it's not possible for a bunch of unpaid programmers to produce something on par with the big Apples and Little Softies and all of those. Adorable companies. So, but now that has been disproven, and I think it works like this. You know, if you have a very popular software, like Blender is a perfect example. It's the coolest of the cool. It's you know, taking over the 3D modeling and animation industry as standard. And it's open source. And because it is so cool and it is so good, people are fighting about being part of the programming development team. That's how software works. The operative system I have on my computer now is the best there is in the world, I think, Debian, which is developed for free by real good programmers who work for free. And they're fighting about being part of this development of this uber cool operative system, which is so famous. Because even by just being part of that team, your status among programmers will be so high that it opens other doors, even financial ones and whatever. So there are, that's the secret behind this, that there are all these. It may sound like they don't get anything because they work for free, but it comes from all kinds of directions. Even donations. And, you know, the freemium and all that. And it's nice because people are then together sharing their expertise by developing some real nice software, cooperating. I mean, it's amazing if you knew what teams are working together online across the planet to develop these kind of things. And there are even instances, of course, of music, but also even of movies. And I'm sure this is going to come more and more, and this is going on already on YouTube. Real cool animated films made by volunteers, people from different creative communities all over the world working together and then, you know, sharing whatever income there is. Having fun, but also making themselves, career and names. So yeah, it's a shift. And I often say to my boys, you know, if you and your friends think that I want to help my friend, I want to do good things for my friend, if he needs something, you know, I will share, I will, like that. Because we had that when I was young. We are the servants of each other. That's how me and my friends for some years, considerable amount of years in my life, I spent in that culture. How is another story, but it was it's a fact. And we even discussed this, what I'm saying now, you know, if you consider yourself a servant of your friends, just think about it, and you try to do nice things for your friends all the time, then what will happen? Well, some people will just take advantage, take and take and take, and then you will see who they are, that they are not actually your real friends. But those who are real friends will, of course, be nice back, want to be your servant, want to do nice things in return. That's what friendship is. So in this way, you will get what you need, but in another way than if you get it just by taking. No, I'm gonna have. And I think that's worth pondering. And, you know, it's something we can all, each one of us, take to heart and kind of implement in our lives.